The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Girls Talk Boys Talk, presented by Jigsaw Dating, preferred dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys, and broadcasting live from Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star.
Interesting.
I wasn't prepared for that.
I liked that.
Jasmine with the vibe for us. Welcome into Girls Talk, Boys Talk, brought to you by Jigsaw Dating, the preferred dating app of the Dallas Cowboys. As we talk about mixing it up our intro, as we get into the Christmas spirit around here, man, offensively, Dak Prescott, we've got 9 starts now, 11 picks. Mixing up the communication with his wide receiver. See where I was going there, ladies? There's obviously been a lot of talk about this on some of the national shows. LeSean McCoy using an interesting superlative to describe Dak Prescott, which I don't know about you, Haley, Jess. We've all worked in local news. I don't think I'd be allowed to just go on there with a declarative statement saying that any player was this or that, particularly a former player. You know, most former players say they always want to be treated fairly by the media. And here you are now, a member of the media, just going on there, like I said, used an interesting word to describe Dak's play. But let's talk about Dak's play, right? Last week we talked about these picks, and they feel like they're coming in bunches right now. He says each pick tells a story. Mm-hmm. And while some of these interceptions are 1,000% on Dak Prescott, a lot of them aren't, and some of this has to do, I think, with the play of the offensive line. They're mixing some things up, but on that that pick at the end of the game, you saw players get hands on Dak. When we look at some of the tipped passes, what was it in the Houston Texans game? There was an absurd amount of tipped passes in that one. And so, ladies, are you at all concerned about the interceptions? Because, Haley, you were there in the scrum. I think, Jess, you were outside with us as well. I like the fact that he said not to brag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that.
But
I
I'm mentally tough. And he's not going to change what he's doing based on what everyone else is saying or the fact that the stat box is giving us an indication that this has been a challenging year for him.
Yeah, I just admire Dak's ability to get up and, you know, listen to what everybody has to say about him all the time and to just time and time again, you know, perform. And you look at the numbers, we could go back and forth all day and look at the things that he's good at, and we could tell you what he's good at, and he'll show you what he's good at. And what we talked about yesterday was he's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. And so I admire that the most about Dak Prescott, and I love, too, the accountability that he takes. You know, he'll own up to some of the interceptions that he's thrown. You know, some of them, you know, he'll say, hey, like, yeah, that was on me. I shouldn't have made this decision here. But I think what's hard about the quarterback position, among other things, is that – when something goes wrong, you're the person that everybody goes to for the blame. So it doesn't matter. And that's why I love the LeSean McCoy conversation. Dak said, like, I didn't even pay attention to that after the first 15 seconds because it's clear that he's not watching the tape. Because he's not. On that first interception, his arm is very clearly hit, right? So it's hard to throw anything when your arm is being hit. And then the second one, obviously, Noah explained to us yesterday, you know, exactly what happened. And so I just always admire his ability to take the criticism and then to not only take it, but to explain from his perspective why he is going to continue to play the way he is. And I think other people have to recognize, too, like, he's not playing with, like, an all-star wide receiver cast.
Yeah. What is it?
You know what I mean?
It was Clarence Hill, who I thought had a good line. He says it's CD and the maybes.
Yeah.
And I can't quite understand why Michael Gallup hasn't gotten more involved in the game plan. In fact, I went and looked at some of his numbers. This is the fifth time, and I'm talking about including Sunday, that since his ACL injury that he's had 2 or fewer receptions in a game. Like, when I looked at the stat box, 5 other players total saw more targets. Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard saw more out of the backfield. And when I caught up with Michael Gallup today in the locker room, he talked about, I'm healthy. I feel like I've been open. But, you know, like, Dak, when I asked him about it, says, you know, I'm going through my reads and it's whoever is there. And I think this all brings us back to when Amari Cooper was here, there was a lot of attention drawn off all these other guys that allowed guys to have big years. But when I'm just looking at a stat line and considering the contract they gave him this season, it's always tough, I think, when you get a contract because then mm-hmm. there's like a big old target on your back. But he's only had 31 receptions, 339 yards, and 3 touchdowns. That's not a number two guy's stat line.
Well, yeah, and that's – and with Michael Gallup – We've talked about him getting back in a rhythm. It's probably going to take time. But the times that you have seen him be successful, you have to look at what they were doing schematically to get him going. So that's just slants, quick stuff, just get him involved. Because the deep progressive things downfield and stuff like that, especially with your pass protection, it's not there as much anymore right now in this moment. Like, the Cowboys aren't just throwing the ball deep consistently. And so, and with Michael Gallup, that's a lot of the things he does well. Now, we've definitely heard people comment on if Michael Gallup was more suited, being the sideline guy, being the boundary guy, big play guy, to have that 3rd and 10 that went to Noah Brown. But the ball was there. So, with Dak going through his progressions, with Michael Gallup, I also, too, think that a lot of these DBs are being very physical with him at the top of routes. And even in this game in particular, there were a lot of push-offs and stuff. He's got to fight through all of this. And I know it's easier said than done, but I'm waiting to see him also, too, him being that physical player that's not afraid to go grab the ball and things like that. So they have to figure out a way to get him going to instill confidence in him early in games like they have before.
I also think schematically – it's confusing right now for the guys. Who's what guy at this point? You know CeeDee's your wide receiver one. Okay, then what? What is everybody else doing? And that wide receiver room keeps growing and growing, but growing with T.Y. Hilton. Okay, how are you going to fit in when really the rest of that room isn't quite established to what they're keying in on right now? And I think there's a lot of confusion within that wide receiver room to know exactly what their roles are at the moment. And it's interesting to see it play out, but going back to the Dak conversation, because I wrote down right here when we were out there talking to him on that he's very mentally tough. I really loved that Clarence asked him, you know, Mike McCarthy mentioned that he wanted you to keep firing. And he said, well, Mike McCarthy doesn't even have to ask me to do that. There's been no conversation mm-hmm. about that because he doesn't have to ask me. And so, you know, I think when you have guys that take accountability and specifically Dak Prescott, who has this scrutiny on his name being the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. I mean, what Dallas Cowboys quarterback has not had that? But I think what I really appreciated about Dak was he's so even keeled through it all. What I hope to see more of is him staying true to who he wants to be as a player right now. So if it's aggressive, stay that. If it's a little more conservative, stay that. What I don't want to see going into this game and really going into the rest of the season, going postseason now, I don't want to see them trying to get too cute, saying that word.
I was talking about that in the last show, though. And that question that I asked the guys was, one of the things I kept hearing internally in this building last year was, look at this team in the postseason. And I was getting referenced the Rams or the 49ers. They get the ball in playmakers' hands. And if you look at the Rams, Cooper Kupp, it's Deebo Samuel. When you think of the 49ers, not right now, obviously they've got Christian McCaffrey and some of their other guys. But when I look at this team, I'm like, who's the guy? The guy is supposed to be CeeDee Lamb. Mm-hmm. Well, your number two guy should be Michael Gallup. Then you should be getting the ball to Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. But I feel like sometimes the play calling, I mean, we had like, what, 6 receivers, which is good to mm-hmm. spread the ball around. But I don't know if that's always worked out for them. And so my argument is, should they be feeding the ball to the guy? You know, like, I'm looking at Minnesota. They've got Justin Jefferson. I just don't feel like they feed the ball to the guy as much as they should have. And maybe that's where some of this, I don't know if you've heard this from some of the guys in the locker room, but just feeling this sense of what is our role, because they are subbing in a lot of different wide receivers and stuff this year.
I just feel like they aren't sticking to what their identity was when it was working, which is you establish your run game, lean on Tony and Zeke to get that going, and then be in your spot, make your plays. It doesn't have to be more complex than that. I think at this point there's been some kind of turnaround to figuring out schematically who they are, what that new identity is, and that's okay. But everyone has to be on the same page to execute that. You can't just throw it out there and expect everyone to know without making a clear plan of, hey, let's try this. If it doesn't work, let's take a step back. It's just, I wonder schematically if that's the issue right now.
And yet we're talking about a team that put up 34 points.
Well, yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
That's where it's like, it's frustrating, I think, sometimes when you talk about this offense. I think the reason why I was defending this argument to Clarence on Media Mash, the reason why you're bringing it up is if you're going to start having problems with your secondary heading into the postseason and this defense isn't as potent as it's been this year, your offense has to be.
Yeah.
And so, especially in those big game moments at the end of the game, you need guys that are going to make the catch. And, you know, credit to Noah Brown for owning that. We've all had off days when we're supposed to have a big moment. You know, I think sometimes, you know, as women, we cover the game. Yes, it's all about being fair and objective, but I think there's a level of empathy maybe some of us have.
Yeah, I say that all the time.
Because who amongst us shows up to our job day in and day out and performs 10 out of 10, right? So everyone's going to have an off day. I think the issue is the concern with some of the trends, I think, is what we're talking about here.
Well, yeah, and we talked about yesterday, you know, in regard to T.Y., in regard to like just hearing him talk and his confidence and his eagerness to get back on the field, and you need that right now. Even looking at that last play, teams are not only dedicating to stop CD, they're also like, Dalton Schultz not gonna do it to me either. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking at when you start, the tight ends weren't really involved a whole bunch in this past game besides Peyton Hendershot getting that wheel route TD. And so moving forward, also, if you're not going to get it from the receivers, you're missing it right now from your tight end group, because that's kind of been not a Band-Aid, but it's definitely made up for the fact that, you know, the receiver core is up and down right now. And I truly feel like we talked about the numbers, 12 personnel, all that stuff has kind of gone away with Jake Ferguson being injured, well, you know, dealing with what he's dealing with, and then also them just trying to figure out what they're going to be doing in the passing game. So that's something I'm looking for moving forward, is the tight end production to be better. And you didn't have Dalton Schultz the last time you played Philly. Mm-hmm. So maybe he gives you a boost.
That's a great point.
This will be a good week for the Cowboys, I think, to go back to what you're saying, Jess, establish the run. They're 19th against it. But when we look at their passing D, number one in the league. So it could be another challenging week, but I think that's why we're going to see a guy like T.Y. Hilton. Because what did he say? If you think you're going to run and do press man against me, you are sadly mistaken. Yeah. And I sort of love that about him. He's like, man, I'm getting off my couch and I'm getting off the sidelines of my kids' games. I've been spending 10 hours a day on this playbook. It's time to use me. And I sort of love the mentality. If you've noticed, we haven't talked about OBJ.
For what?
I maintain that thing's not happening. Jerry definitely walked that thing back. Because remember, he said if they won the game against Jacksonville, basically he was getting signed and we were going to be talking about him this week. That ship has sailed. So you've got to do with what you've got right now, and that is essentially T.Y. Hilton, Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, and then we'll see if we get, and again, I'm not knocking Noah Brown, big fan of Noah's, a lot of this more consistent production from this wide receivers room. And look, it all, it's Dax involved. Everyone's got a role in it. So it's a team sport. All right, when we come back, I love that you were in the locker room today, Jess, and I actually didn't even think about this. You brought up an interesting nugget. I'm going to spoil it because I know you've got it for past interference. But RJ Ochoa from Blowing the Boys, give him a little bit of love, made the interesting observation that since 2019, the Cowboys or the Eagles have not played their starting QB. And that's wild to me. Cooper Rush has an interesting perspective about that as it relates to Gardner Minshew, although I still tend to think that Jalen Hurts is playing in this game. I don't know about you guys. But we'll talk about that on the other side of this break as we take our first one. This is Girls Talk, Boys Talk, brought to you by Jigsaw Dating, the official dating app of the Dallas Cowboys.
At Jigsaw Dating, we obviously want the Cowboys to bring that sixth ring home. But to be honest, we're more focused on finding the person who will put a ring on your finger. That's why we created a dating app that reveals your face through meaningful conversation so you can date deeper. Because it's personality that matters the most, not looks. Join Jigsaw Dating today, dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, Pepsi loving football fans, it's time we had a lesson in trash talk. And I'm not talking about that stuff that happens on the field. What I'm talking about is trash, and it's the only thing that belongs in your garbage can.
No, recycling might not be as thrilling as converting a fourth and long, but next time you're thinking about throwing that Pepsi Zero Sugar bottle away, just cap it back up and pretend you're down by six with the recycling bin wide open. Know the difference, make a difference. Be a team player and recycle. Visit PepsiTrashTalk.com to learn more.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at Blockchain.com.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Welcome back to Girls Talk, Boys Talk, brought to you by Jigsaw Dating, the official dating app of the Dallas Cowboys. But first, Jess.
And although the weather may be cold, get the hottest gifts in the game for the ultimate Cowboys fan. From jerseys to gift cards, the Dallas Cowboys Pro Shop has you covered. Stop by the nearest store to log on to shop at DallasCowboys.com, a Fanatics experience, and score a holiday shopping winning touchdown. I love all those puns. Mm. I added in about the cold weather. It felt right. It felt right.
Is this where we golf clap?
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Jazzy will play it in a second.
No, she's going to be like,
All right. So, Jess, you were in the locker room today and decided to go talk to Cooper Rush. Mm. Why?
So, when I was sitting here looking at this quarterback controversy, and I don't even want to call it a controversy, the conversation between Jalen Hurts, Gardner Minshew, it sounded a little familiar, right? A veteran quarterback who goes down, and then you have a veteran backup quarterback who's coming in that the locker room welcomes and respects. Where does that sound familiar? The Cowboys, going back to the Dak injury. So when I was sitting here thinking about it, I thought, well, who would have the better perspective of, you know, Gardner Minshew stepping up, especially right now during the scrum of it, right? You have your playoff berth. Everything is pretty much set at this point. But I thought Cooper Rush would have an interesting perspective in the locker room. So I went up to talk to him. And it was a really interesting and an insightful conversation because I just wanted to ask him, you know, what about Gardner Minshew's preparation is going to help him the most? And he said his experience. Being a veteran helps him a lot. And so Cooper Rush said that in his experience, when it comes to not getting reps for a backup quarterback, you get it when you can. And those are your reps that you use, whether it's that week or 2 weeks ago, that's what you use to go forward. And so something he said that helped him specifically when his number was called was when Dak was banged up, when he was dinged up, you know, maybe sitting out a couple reps, that's when he would go in. So he said, you know, I expect Gardner's going to get those reps this week that maybe Jalen would get or what have you. But he said that something I never thought about, I guess, but typically when teams try to get a backup quarterback, they get somebody whose play style is very similar to their starting quarterback. So I asked him, is RPO going to be impacted, do you think, if Gardner Minshew comes in? And he said, well, I think it's kind of watered down, and those are my words, but in a sense, he said, basically watered down. He can still make plays outside the pocket, so you can't count him out for that, but schematically, things aren't going to change too much. And so getting his insight was just really helpful looking at this Eagles team because everybody was very quick to count them out as soon as Jalen Hurts, you know, the injury news really came out. I don't think so. I think Gardner Minshew is going to put up an equal fight. Maybe not as equal, but it's not going to be hurtful to Philadelphia in this
way. I agree. I don't think it's going to be as lopsided. And I think it's going to – Micah Parsons, when he talked about is it system or Jalen Hurts, there's so many weapons around Gardner Minshew when you consider the play of their offensive line, when you consider some of his weapons like A.J. Brown. Of course, you got Miles Sanders if you want to keep it on the ground. You got Quez. So I actually remember, and you were you were obviously down in Miami, but he was in Jacksonville. Remember Minshew Magic?
I do.
I remember it came to a skid because I had a Thursday night football game. It was Miami and Jacksonville, and that was Fitz Magic when Fitz had the big game.
Oh, man.
All the beards, all the facial hairs, right. All the madness.
But he certainly was serviceable as a quarterback. Now, he missed Wednesday's practice because of Mike Leach's funeral. But, yeah, I mean, I think these guys, it's interesting because I had reached out to Jacksonville when I think it was Urban Meyer was there, and he wanted out. And it had nothing to do with Trevor Lawrence, but he wanted out. And that's when the Cowboys were looking for a backup quarterback. And I started making calls saying, hey, Gardner Minshew, this was last year. And I remember saying, you know, Gardner Minshew would be a hell of a backup if he was here in Dallas. And I was told, wanted to play in Philly. Like, he chose Philly. So there was like a love affair that he had with Philly and wanted to play there. So I thought that was interesting.
Ties to Philly?
I don't know. Does he?
I want to say, I could be making that up, but I want to say that I read it somewhere that his dad has some kind of.
You know, I what did I tell you guys ahead of this Jacksonville game? I said they were better than their record.
Yeah.
And we looked at some of the games they played. My biggest concern about this Cowboys team right now is 1,000% the play of the corners. And I went up to Jordan Lewis and I asked Anthony Brown about it, and he just kept talking. The eye discipline. And I don't know if we're gonna see Kelvin Joseph back in there again. I don't know about you, Aisha. I'd sort of seen enough.
Yeah, I mean,
so is it Nashawn Wright?
With the cornerback two position, at this point, I just want a gentleman that's serviceable.
So what do you do? We talked about this before the show, Deron Bland.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've seen, actually, if you watch within the game, they've moved in some packages. He is out there. In some packages, he's at safety. So he has the capability, and he's also put on tape at the nickel that he is not afraid to take the ball away. And right now, you just need the threat because the big play is what's killing you. Like, the big plays over the top, honestly, are what's killing you. We could talk about the run defense. We could talk about the short intermediate stuff. The defense typically shores up that stuff. It's that big play that's killing you. And also, you're starting to go against quarterbacks that are not afraid to just go at the matchup. And that's something that Philly does well specifically. They will find where you're weak and they will go at it. So I'm interested in seeing possibly Deron Bland on the outside because there's some trust there and you got to have a lot of trust to play that position. And maybe one of those veteran gentlemen like an Alexander who has the experience and has played in the nickel, because it's a lot of communication. It's a lot of stuff you have to do there. You might get some better play there and just it to be adequate. Just at this point, I think Deron Bland and Trayvon Diggs can hold it down. You just need someone to be serviceable or not a liability at this point in pass coverage, because those TDs were killer.
Well, it was funny because I asked Jordan Lewis about A.J. Brown, and because I said, how much is it killing you not being able to play in this one? He's like, absolutely. He says, the problem with A.J. Brown is he's like, whether he's open or not, he's going to catch the ball. Something the Cowboys, I think, wish that they had. Mm-hmm. But I think that's what is concerning for Dallas moving forward. I don't care who's throwing the football. Mm-hmm. The point is they're throwing it to A.J. Brown. And yeah. I think that is going to be a big issue for this team if we looked at some of the receivers that were having the sort of success that they had against Cowboys in Jacksonville.
Yeah, in fairness, though.
Texans, too.
The Cowboys defended A.J. Brown particularly. I thought they did pretty well. The times where Diggs was matched up on him, I think he only had one target, one catch for one target last game. So we'll see how they decide to use him. Like you said, the biggest problem is Devontae Smith. And they're getting Dallas Goedert back, which is important.
I love that.
It's going to be important for what they do. They do a lot of screens. They do a lot of quick stuff just to get their guys in space and make opportunity. And when you have
– this guy was once number two on their roster in receiving.
Yeah.
So.
And when you have a young guy coming back – well.
Just to your point, he's missed five games and he is still third in receiving touchdowns and he is third in receiving yards.
Good
so
stuff.
Just
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You could literally put anyone in there at quarterback and I still think some of their offensive weapons, their offensive line
their
are going to be a challenge. Not to mention that you've got Micah Parsons who's dealing with an illness this week, even though we've seen him play through injury before. But now Leighton Vander Esch isn't a part of this either. And so, yeah, I mean, I think stopping the run, stopping the passing game, I think the Cowboys are up against it. It's like, so when I see all these people saying, you know, Cowboys have the edge in this one, I'm like, how?
Well, I want to be fair. Because
does Vegas know something I don't?
Well, the Cowboys still are ranked. I mean, and when you're talking about passing defenses, I think the Cowboys, the Eagles are first and the Cowboys are still third against the pass. So there's again, there's the matchups are still going to be, when you look at this team on paper, these teams on paper, quite honestly, they are close in a lot of areas. The biggest difference to me that you see is the rushing defense, I guess, and then the Cowboys are tied for 24th and Philly's 19th. And you
to your point, there's not a massive discrepancy. Like, yeah. I'm sitting here, I'm looking, mm-hmm. you know, at them. I think it's just the way the Cowboys have played some of these teams, particularly as of late.
Yeah, it feels big. It feels big.
They haven't lost back-to-back games this year, which is incredible. And yeah. I think Mike McCarthy was asked about that today, and he went back to that old reliable word they've used all season, is resilience.
Yeah.
Because they've had some tough ones, you know.
Close calls.
The Tampa one, I think everyone sort of got, right? You didn't have Tyron Smith. It's Tom Brady. Then we look at the Eagles' loss. They had Cooper Rush, okay? But for me, the Green Bay one was tough.
It was tough.
That was a tough one because of all the injuries that Green Bay had, right? And then that one, remember who wasn't playing in that one in the secondary? Anthony Brown.
Barnacles.
I think people don't give Anthony Brown enough credit. I used to not give him enough credit. And then when we look at the Jacksonville game, I mean, I think what was killer for a lot of people is the way they lost a 17-point lead. The way they came back in the second half and started targeting Kelvin Joseph. I mean, those guys went to their tablets and said, this is where we're going, and they made the Cowboys pay. Yeah.
What I can appreciate, too, is Jayron Kearse in the locker room yesterday talked about, if our offense is putting up 34 points, we should win comfortably. But, you know, you look back at that 17-point lead, what happened after that was the Cowboys' defense allowed three straight drives of Jacksonville scoring, and mm-hmm. That's difficult. I mean, when you have...
You can't ever... It ruins momentum.
That. It does. And so, you know, going back to what you said about Dallas Goedert, that also changes things up for the Cowboys this week because it adds a sense of versatility to this Eagles offense that they necessarily weren't lacking these last 5 weeks, but it helps them elevate even more.
They just got better.
And it's...
Now it's going to be a question, though. Good. Are they going to rest some of their starters? Like... I think the big question I think a lot of people have is when we started hearing that they might rest some starters ahead of this one or that Jalen Hurts wasn't playing, I think there was some concern it sort of lost its luster. Like NFL Network, we've got it as like our game of the week for total access. I don't think it's lost their luster. And I think the reason why you play all your guys is the Eagles lock it all up with a win.
Yeah, they still got to lock it up, though.
This is so crazy for those listening. The Cowboys could still win the NFC East, and here's how. Mm-hmm. So the Eagles still have to play, obviously, here at Dallas, but then they have two home games left, New Orleans and the Giants. I think it's pretty safe to say they'd win both of those, right?
They should.
We don't know yet.
They should, but yeah.
Cowboys have to travel to Tennessee, and they have to travel to
Washington.
To Washington.
Yes.
And Washington, for me, is always a bit of a spoiler for the Cowboys. And Tennessee, even though they got a new quarterback at Ryan, subbing in for Ryan Tannehill, maybe he's better. So I think the Cowboys need this win moving forward. But if the Cowboys win out and the Eagles lose out, the Cowboys win the second tiebreaker, which is the best division in the division. And I think if they get a loss in the 49ers and a loss in the Vikings, they could get a number one seed.
I just think this game comes down to, like, grit at this point.
Yeah.
Because I mean, and I love like all of the points that are being brought up. You know, the Eagles are going to bring this, the Cowboys are going to bring this. This is the type of game where respectfully, like, none of that matters to a degree because it's a rivalry game. You know what I mean? So everything is amplified. This one to me is everyone's banged up, everyone's hurt. We're at that point of the season where December football is such a big deal. The team to me that comes out on top, and this is just like the athlete in me speaking, this is like, who wants it more? Mm-hmm. And it sounds so cheesy to think. You obviously have to consider, you know, the pieces coming back, the defense, and who's matching up who. But at the end of the day, like, this is...
Let us put our resources to work for you.
What the heck is... Is that
someone's
my computer?
Someone's got their computer on.
Is that yours?
No, it's not mine.
In your case.
It was mine.
Oh, all right.
But regardless, I just think that a lot of this is going to come down to, you know, the X's and O's are going to be important, but I think the execution for me really gets determined by who is going to show up in those big moments.
Okay, but Haley, to your point, they could have easily locked up. Now, they got help to get into the playoffs, but they needed that win against Jacksonville, which was, what, a 5-8 team, even though I said they were better than their record, and they didn't get it done.
Well, they didn't get it done on Sunday, and I'm not trying to give anybody any excuses.
I think my concern with this team is how hard they tend to make it on themselves. And when you talk about who wants it more, it's like, I think that – I think 75% of this roster wants it. Mm-hmm. And then I think because you hear guys talking about it throughout the year, like if you read between the tea leaves, I think some of these guys call out some of these guys for maybe not spending enough time in the playbook. Who was it? I won't say who the player was, but I was asking about some of the defensive play, and they said it's easy to get caught up in. You think you're good. You don't need to look at the film as much. And then you're relying on what you think is your raw talent. And that doesn't work in the NFL.
I also think too, like, injuries aren't helping them right now, too.
Right.
The statute of injuries, because you had Jonathan Hankins, who came in and the run defense was patched up. I wouldn't say it was perfect, but it was definitely better. And then LVE, who silently came out with this breakout year since really his rookie season. You look at all of that, and you can't help those things. Like, injuries, you can't help, but...
You can't, but you got to have these younger guys stepping up.
I was
up
about to say, but when your number's called, you have to be ready to go. You have to execute. And I think Aisha, she said this the other week, and it stuck in my head. It comes down to execution at this point. And it's who wants it more, but who's going to execute the entirety of the game? Not just the first half, not just the last drive of the game, but who's going to execute for this full football game,
Four quarters.
70 snaps played, because that's what we have not seen from this Cowboys team. You haven't seen a fully executed game.
Well, you did. And it was against the Vikings.
There you go.
It was against the Vikings.
But when it,
and that's my point. That's what I'm saying is I'm not saying discount all of the prep and all the X's and O's and all of the tangibles that are in this one. You obviously have to look at that kind of stuff. But this is a game that we have been talking about in and out since the first matchup. And even before that, we were talking about how the season was going to come down to this game right here. And so, yes, the injuries are a big deal. Like, they are depleted in so many different places, and a lot of these guys are asked to do a lot more than what they have probably were expected to do. And that's where I think that extra gear comes of, do we want to win this game? Are we going to put in the work to, you know, have that success on Saturday? Or are we going to rely on, oh, well, like, this is what we bring to the table, to your point?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I was trying to say.
Well, I was very happy that you brought up, like, the injuries that have happened, because they are key injuries. And this is something that happens at this time of year. But good coaches and good teams find consistency when there is none. And I'm waiting for, especially DQ, because he has taken, that side of the ball has taken the brunt of losses. I mean, you've lost three starters in the last 3 weeks on every level. Mm-hmm. And so for me, for this game, I agree with you. It's going to be who wants it more. But also, too, the confidence that could come from this game, adjusting to, I have three key starters on this side of the ball out, like, where I'm waiting to see on the defensive side for them to adjust to what they have and then go forward, because you can't keep doing the same things, or you may have to change how you're doing things because of where guys are right now.
Look, I mean, the offense needed the defense to bail them out, because they had three key starters and more out at different points. No Tyron Smith, no Dak Prescott,
but
Dalton Schultz was injured, Michael Gallup wasn't there for a bit. So they've been able to overcome it, but I think it goes back to playing complimentary football.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And not just 75% of the team wanting this thing, but 100%. I think that's sort of been the struggle. And I think this happens, especially, I mean, think about it, with the added games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's challenging.
And then
what was it, 16 games now or 17 games?
You can even
seasons?
Go back to, a lot of these guys didn't get a snap in preseason. So,
yeah.
You know, that argument can come full forward again. But what I really liked about Dak talking today was he talked about, I wrote this down, a quote. Dak's just full of great quotes. So when he's talking, I'm like typing as fast as I can. But he said it's about making a statement to themselves during this game. And I couldn't have worded it better. I mean, coming from Dak, I think they got knocked down. All right, are you going to get up? Are you going to keep talking? Are you going to do it? Because at this point, it's execution. It's an execution thing, and they just have to step up and do it when their number's called.
And you spoke on the 75%. Hey, we talk about all three facets over here. Special teams as well. Like,
yeah.
The special teams play in the last 3 weeks has put your offense in spots to where they have to go long drives, mm-hmm. or they have to do all this. And this is a trickle-down effect again from some of the guys that block on special teams, you got them playing corner now. Like, they're having to chime in other places, so mm-hmm. you're missing some of your gunners and your blockers. So that's affecting returns. That's affecting your field position. So also, if we're going to talk about offense, defense, it's definitely on Bones Fossil to kind of try to figure out how to get some productive yardage on these returns and put your offense a better in better position to go make plays. Because even last week, that was a 98-yard drive.
Well, I've got to also raise my hand and take a little accountability here because a few weeks ago, I made the mistake of talking to Kevontae Turpin.
No, you
and ever him. Since then, Kevontae Turpin has had a tough go of it. And I said
I was
to
like,
Kevontae,
is this about to be a confessional?
No. Yeah, exactly.
I know. Like,
can we dim the light?
The whispering tone.
I went up to Kevontae and I said, I don't think I'm going to be talking to you for the rest of the season. I own this because that was the Texans game when he had the
muffed punt.
And, yeah, I don't think it's hurt his confidence, and he was.
It hasn't. I talked to him today.
He was great, but yeah, I think I'm going to be staying away from sweet Kevontae Turpin the rest of the season. I want to apologize to Cowboy fans and Kevontae.
You know what?
Use this opportunity.
I'm actually glad you brought up Kevontae Turpin because, of course, we know I check on Kevontae every week since he got here. I will go to the locker room. How are you feeling this week? Is this the week you're taking it back? Like, we talk about this every week. So I didn't see him last week, and I was waiting in the locker room to see if I would, and didn't end up seeing him. So I was like, hey. I was waiting for you last week. I didn't get to ask, how are you feeling this week? And he's like, I'm good. I'm good. Rolled off my shoulders. I'm good. And I said, how is your confidence level? And if anything, he said it kind of brought him back down a little bit, which he needed. So it's always interesting to hear now being in this position and then seeing kind of the fan perspective on Twitter, just how these mindsets of me personally has shifted throughout the course of this season from fan and, you know, going to the games as fan to really seeing it from a different side of things, even talking to these guys. And it was interesting because I just asked him, you know, welcome to the Cowboys, right? Like a lot of scrutiny. And he said, yeah, but just can't let it bother me. So he's not bothered by it. But what I will say from what I've gathered to talking to him these last few weeks is he's the kind of person that belongs in this locker room. He takes accountability and he works to make it better. And so
it is, I love that you've seen that because trust me, I joked, I called it hashtag Cowboys Dad. The text messages that I get from my father amaze me.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I kind of laugh too because every time when I first started out in the business, people would say, why is she, you know, covering this sport? She doesn't understand football. And then I listen, like I said, these talking heads like LeSean McCoy, and I'm like, look, there are layers to everything. Like, yep, you know, yeah. What is it? There's two sides. There's actually three sides of the story. There's this side, yours, that side, and there's the truth that's somewhere in the middle. That's why I always appreciate being able to go in the locker room, because instead of having an opinion on something, I actually get an understanding of something. Yeah. And so when people are like, oh, you're – a DAC apologist or you're this or that. It's like, no, I actually go in there and ask the questions that a lot of people on Twitter, it's emotional responses. Mm-hmm. So there are layers to this thing. Yeah, the interceptions for DAC have been an issue. Yes, the injury bug has been a problem for this team. Yes, sometimes they tend to make this thing a lot harder on themselves than it needs to be, but we'll see if they can pull this off. And I think a win over the Eagles, regardless of whether it's Gardner or Jalen, I still tend to think it's going to be Jalen, but we'll see. I think will be big for the Cowboys moving forward and still give them a little bit of an opportunity. But even as Zeke said today, look, they're not celebrating the playoffs because they've been to the playoffs since he's been here, and they've also lost in the opening round. And I think that's what a lot of Cowboy fans have come to know and expect. All right, we've got a little bit of extra time here on the other side of our second and final break. We'll give you a couple of playmakers to keep an eye on as we talk about this big game on Saturday, not Sunday. That took me a little bit to get used to this week. It's Girls Talk, Boys Talk, brought to you by Jigsaw Dating, the official dating app of the Dallas Cowboys.
At Jigsaw Dating, we obviously want the Cowboys to bring that sixth ring home. But to be honest, we're more focused on finding the person who will put a ring on your finger. That's why we created a dating app that reveals your face through meaningful conversation so you can date deeper. Because it's personality that matters the most, not looks. Join Jigsaw Dating today, dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, Pepsi-loving football fans, it's time we had a lesson in trash talk. And I'm not talking about that stuff that happens on the field. What I'm talking about is trash, and it's the only thing that belongs in your garbage can. No, recycling might not be as thrilling as converting a fourth and long, but next time you're thinking about throwing that Pepsi Zero Sugar bottle away, just cap it back up and pretend you're down by six with the recycling bin wide open.
Know the difference? Make a difference. Be a team player and recycle. Visit PepsiTrashTalk.com to learn more.
With Smoothie King's original Angel Food and new Angel Food Slim without added sugar, you no longer have to choose between treating yourself and hitting your goals this summer. You don't have to choose between great taste and feeling great. Because at Smoothie King, every blend is made with whole fruits and no syrups, so you can satisfy your cravings without compromise. The only choice you will need to make is which one is best for you. Try our classic Angel Food or the new Angel Food Slim, blended without added sugar. Smoothie King, rule the day.
The NBA playoffs are back, and on FanDuel, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Back in the day, news like this, your crew would have been writing each other letters.
Dearest Benjamin, wonderful news from the East. The spread has been covered.
Or maybe you'd use your phone to actually call someone.
Man, you see that dunk? Man, I saw that dunk.
But these days, it's all about the group chat.
I love that high-fiving kitten emoji.
No matter how you tell them, let your crew know that all new FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Ooh, Morse code. Classic. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
To Girls Talk, Boys Talk, brought to you by Jigsaw Dating, the official dating app of the Dallas Cowboys. But first, Jess.
Dak Prescott is this year's Cowboys nominee for the 2022 Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award presented by Nationwide, recognizing NFL players for outstanding community service off the field and excellence on the field. Help Dak earn a $25,000 donation to his Faith Fight Finish Foundation by voting on Twitter. Tweet or retweet hashtag WPMOY Challenge, followed by Dak Prescott through January 8th, and go vote Dak.
All right, look, this is a big one this weekend. Dallas is in its first consecutive playoff appearance since 2006-2007. As the guys talked about today, though, a little bit hard to celebrate it, given the loss that they had on the road to Jacksonville, which I still submit is a very, very good team. And Trevor Lawrence is really finding his stride. That's going to be a dangerous team if they can get
baller.
In the playoffs.
They're good.
He's a baller.
Last time the Eagles were the one seed and they went 13-3 during the season, they won the Super Bowl back in 2017. All right, but in order to even talk playoffs and Super Bowl, at least on the Cowboys side, we need to address some of the injuries. So we got the injury report. Do you want to give that one to me, Haley?
Yeah, so the Cowboys pretty positive. It's the same as yesterday, literally copy and paste. So the only real concern, I use that word lightly, Micah Parsons was out again with an illness. Mike kind of talked to us a little bit about that today. It's just a bug circling around. So something to pay attention to, but all the other guys still limited that we talked about yesterday. I did get a chance to talk to Jake a little bit in the locker room. He was in a hurry to go do some treatment stuff. But I said, how are you feeling? And he said, oh, much better. So love that from Jake. Don't know if we'll see him yet. Mike said that he was still working through the concussion protocol. So we'll see how that progresses. But something interesting with the Eagles is that half, if not more than half, of their injury report is resting. So you've got guys like James Bradbury, the corner, is non-injury resting. A.J. Brown, same thing. Fletcher Cox, Landon Dickerson, Brandon Graham, Lane Johnson, Jason Kelsey. Let's see here. Josh Sweat. So a lot of these guys were limited today or did not practice because they are resting.
Look,
so
Mike McCarthy's been doing this all season with a lot of guys. So
right.
I don't know why you're sitting there like looking icy, giving me the eyes. I don't know what's so tricky about that.
What day do they travel?
What day do they travel?
What day will they travel here?
Friday?
Friday.
Yeah. So 11 guys on this report are resting out of 17.
But all of them are veterans. Yeah. So I think giving them a veteran rest day before, I'm not reading too much into that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying that it's. I think to me it's clear that that Chicago game was a little bit more physical than, you know.
Dinged them up.
Yeah. So give those guys the rest that.
And Jalen Hurts didn't participate today either.
So
that's not shocking, but
dumping out our reporter notebook here a little bit. Here's something interesting, because I know people keep wondering, jumping off of that, Jalen Hurts or Gardner Minshew? Jalen Hurts or Gardner Minshew? They have similar passing production in their career. What? what?
When
we talk about their completion percentage, Jalen Hurts 62.6, Gardner Minshew 62.7. Passing yards attempts, 7.6 for Hurts, 6.9 for Minshew. Passing touchdown to interceptions, 43-17, 37-10 for Minshew. And their passer rating is both 93.8. Now, Hurts, like we talked about earlier, so dangerous on his feet. 26 career rushing touchdowns, Minshew only one. If Jalen Hurts plays and he uses his feet this week, let's say because he is struggling with that shoulder, that would be a very dangerous week to do it, given this situation that they've got now with no Jonathan Hankins, no Leighton Vander Esch, and then what do you do with Micah Parsons, and is he going to be feeling better by Saturday? So I think that, to me, is like the big question mark. If I'm the Eagles, I'm like, let's stress you out, Jalen. Maybe we alternate not dissimilar from what the Houston Texans did. We've got both of you guys in here playing, but we're getting Jalen some reps in here, letting him be deadly, getting Gardner some opportunities, which, by the way, remember when the Eagles had Nick Foles and Carson Wentz? Not bad to have two quarterbacks that can play for you. What if they came out and did that, guys?
Ew. I think it's dangerous. I think it's dangerous in regard to him dealing with a shoulder and his throwing arm, because it's not even just him throwing the ball. It's him getting tackled, just the act of tackling him in general, like, because that's what happened to him. Like, he got tackled, went to the ground. I wouldn't want him to be getting knocked out.
You may not want him to, but I talked to guys in the locker room, they said, if I'm Jalen, I'm playing. Like, when you're a competitive guy, you are playing.
And that sounds fine and dandy, but...
And even Nick Sirianni kept the door open a little bit today.
Jalen did, too. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, Jalen did, too. And I say this half joking, but I was just kind of scrolling. I was rewatching the last game, and then I was on Twitter. This picture of Mike Leach that I was just showing Aisha, all big on my screen. But I was watching a video earlier of after the injury happened, and the caption literally said, Jalen Hurts did this after he sprained his shoulder, and he yanked the ball down to who else but A.J. Brown. And so I just feel like, again, like I'm just tapping into my like athlete experience here. Like,
because going back though, Haley, if they just win this game, they have eliminated Cowboys from winning the NFC East,
and then you rest.
And then you rest.
That's what I was going to say.
That's what I would do if I was the Eagles.
Yeah, when you're a competitor, the way these guys are, specifically Jalen Hurts, there's a level of, yeah, it hurts, but. You know what I mean?
I was going to say
hurts.
Yeah. And so if Jalen on Tuesday is saying that there's a possibility that I can play, whether I like it, you like it, whatever, then that's your starting quarterback. Yeah. And it's like what Mike says all the time, you know, at the end of the day, LOL. But
think about Zeke,
what I was going to say. You can tell these guys and you can suggest to them what they should and shouldn't do, but the reality is that they're grown men, and if Jalen wants to play, then he's going to spend all this week not practicing. He's going to pop out and practice, you know, one day before they leave, go through the walkthrough. They're going to shoot him up with the cortisone shot. He's going to get out there and play, because the unfortunate, and I'm not saying that I necessarily condone this or support it or whatever, but the unfortunate part of this business is that their job is to be athletes. And if they feel so inclined to put their body on the line in a game that would essentially put the NFC to bed,
yeah.
Then, to your point, yeah, I think the door is open for Jalen to play.
I don't know. I'm so back and forth on this, because I look at how Mike McCarthy has handled injuries this season, of saying, like, hey, you know, physically you're ready, mentally. I just think for the long-term thing, I always sit on this hill of a long-term situation. It could go both ways. Long-term, do you want to seal the NFC East, move on? Yes. But also long-term, you're talking a playoff run, and this team has potential. The Eagles, as much as I hate to admit it, this hurts me to say, the Eagles have potential to make a very deep playoff run, and you have to think that.
But then they can sit in for 3 weeks, because they'll get the first round bye. And then they've got two games left on the season. And then,
I was going to say, I played in my very last regular season game in college with a swollen bum ankle, scored, and we went to the postseason. And then I rested for a little bit.
I thought you were going to say swollen bum. I was like, whoa.
No.
Okay, like, Kim K. Hey,
No, but I'm just saying, like, I just think the competitor side of you comes out, and it goes back to what I was saying earlier with, this is a game that the emotions are so invested, the rivalry is so invested. This is a game where if you have, I would say, a 40% chance of playing, you're going to play.
Yeah.
You're going to play. So we'll see how he progresses. Like you said, he didn't practice today. I don't think he'll practice tomorrow. Maybe he hops out in the walkout before they fly out here. So I'm with you. I would not be surprised.
I just keep going back to the Houston Texans tomfoolery. And if you're looking at other teams, you're like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. So you prepare for both. You follow the path of the practice.
There you go.
Beautiful.
All right, ladies. Well, tomorrow it's Kelsey Charles. I know you guys are going to get to break down this game a little bit more. If you didn't get enough news and notes ahead of Philly, and maybe we'll have a little bit of a clearer picture as to who that starting quarterback is going to be, but definitely a fun one. And I'll have all of your coverage on Saturday, Christmas Eve, on NFL Network. Thanks for tuning in. See you tomorrow.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!